Relax. It's a bonus, okay? Any harmful thoughts from the past or toxic behaviors that you've seen or you heard or you've experienced personally? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those things that you don't want to carry into your current lifestyle now. Those things that you don't want to expose whoever you're in a relationship with. Those things that you don't even want to raise kids in a concoction with. Those things. Most people have a traumatic upbringing as kids, as teenagers, or their early 20s. And then they take those experiences to build the foundation of all relationships that they will have in life until the casket drops. That's just how it works, right? And that's why I'm really big on talking about protecting children and allowing children to be fully in their childhood. Meaning, I'm not for any child from a baby to 13 years old putting on makeup or saying cuss words for a viral video or putting on heels or wearing super mini skirts and tube tops because it's cute. And I think my baby's cute, so I want to put my baby in modeling. And then they get exposed to creeps most times, unless you can be with them every shoot, every experience. You know, I am very big on my children being allowed to be children, being allowed to, out of all the toys in the backyard, y'all outside digging in the dirt and picking out worms and finding beetles and Googling them and telling me facts about them. Like, I like the fact that that's my child's curiosity for the day. Not, mom, such and such showed me their body part and they said it's this, or what is this? Like, I'm not into my kids talking about adult things before they need to, unless I'm talking to them about something biologically that they need to know for their protection. And I'm very protective of my children being safe, because I didn't feel safe as a child. I didn't feel safe at Anya's age. I didn't feel protected at Arya's age. I didn't feel like I didn't feel like I got the chance to know what it feels like to have like real, loving, caring, protective family. I didn't get the chance to really develop healthy relationships with all of my siblings. And my mom wasn't supported by her family. And my mom was the type of person, still is, to shut down and not talk and not respond and not speak and not do anything when she doesn't want to deal with the issue that's in front of her. And so that helped to build like a defense in me that I've carried around all my life. Nobody's going to fuck with me. Nobody's going to bother me. If you tell me no, I'm going to go around you and find a way to make what I need to get done a fucking yes. You bother me, I'm going to murder you. Period. Point blank. And that was like, I have to protect me at all costs because nobody else is going to. And that was like how I got through relationships. Like, if I can't be honest with you, we can't do shit. If you can't be honest with me, I don't want to do shit with you. If you have thoughts about me that you're holding hostage until you're in the wrong and you want to be defensive and then you want to jab them at me when it's convenient, that's it for us. That's it for us as friends. That's it for us as business partners. That's it for us romantically. If I see a characteristic in you that I don't mesh well with, I want it to be better. It needs to be better, even if it's not for me, for you. and I got to repeat myself about it to you, mentally, I'm already off you. Mentally, you are not coming along in the future goals that I have for myself, visually, mentally, spiritually. I'm off you. We are no longer connected, because if you're not going to work on it and you think you about to pack that shit into next year with me and the year after that and the year after that, no, you're not. You could get on a plane, but you're not. My itinerary does not include you type shit. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, when it comes to breaking cycles, that's what I'm talking about. Even if it's work, friends, romantic, or strangers that they meet. However you had to deal with people as a child, as a teenager, as a young 20-year-old, that's the foundation of how you see people, how you treat people, and the boundaries you do or you do not create with people. You know, I dealt with a lot as a kid that I shouldn't have to, all the way up to my teens. And that's why I don't trust people easily. A huge reason why I don't have relatives meet my kids that need therapy and don't think they need therapy. I'm not big on people just liking me and being around my kids too fast. I'm not trying to introduce you to nobody that I really care about. I don't talk to my mom about men I like in the last decade, because to be my age and talk to my mom about a man I like is childish to me. It has to be a bit more important. Why is this person pivotal in your life? How your life is set up right now? How are you showing up in this person's life? What are they teaching you? How do they support you? Like, if it ain't that, I have nothing to talk to my mom about another man that I like. Okay? You gotta be making some pivotal moves in my life, and I gotta be seeing the value in you that's so strong that I have to talk to my mom about this. You know what I'm saying? There's no man in my past that I was in a relationship with that I purposely took to go meet my brothers because I want them to meet the person I'm in a relationship with. If my brothers ever met the person I was with, it's just because they just so happened to be there. Like, it has never been that. You know what I'm saying? And I see a lot of people do that, and it's supposed to mean something. It's supposed to be something pivotal. I never brought any boyfriend around my mom and be like, hey, mom, meet my boyfriend. What? You're still being interviewed if you're a boyfriend. This is not pivotal. You know what I'm saying? This is not pivotal. But that's where the foundation starts. And most people may see an issue with how I deal with people if they don't understand my upbringing. You know what I'm saying? And I don't rock well with people who hide, lie, ignore, and mask their trauma to look like life works. I'm not trying to look like my life work. I'm trying to make my life work. And how I make my life work is being honest about what triggers me, being honest about what I don't like, being honest about where my boundaries start and end, being honest about who deserves my trust, being honest about not being comfortable doing certain things too fast, or never, ever would I compromise on X, Y, and Z. And that's fine if you also have things that you won't compromise on. I think that's healthy. That's your personal boundary. And I'm just at a point where I'm not bending for no one on my boundaries. I'm not bending for no one to be in a relationship with me because it looks cute, or because I'm just a safe choice. I'm not trying to be nobody's safe fucking choice. Okay. And I think being someone's safe choice is settling, because that's you saying, you're not my first choice. You're not somebody I truly want. I don't really see the value in you, but you can work. Nah, I don't even pick my shoes like that. Stop it. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about this episode. I'm talking about breaking cycles and breaking them shits now, because if not now, when you gonna do it? If you don't have kids already, when are you going to do it? You can go to therapy while you raise kids, but it's a lot harder. Your kids might be exposed to a level of you that they don't have to be exposed to if you know how to better that level of you now. You know what I'm saying? And I've been saying no for a very long time in my life. And I'm going to continue to say no for a very long time in my life, because I'm completely okay with my boundaries that I have. And hopefully at the end of this episode, you're okay with the boundaries you set. My whole thing with breaking cycles is I look at it logically. So we come into this world solo, unless you're a twin. Unless you're a twin. But either way, one of y'all got to come out at a time, okay? Y'all can't both come out at the same time. Your mama hole ain't that big. So we come into this world solo and we die solo. Okay? There's nobody here that you love that you're going to take with you, and y'all going to go through that transition together, unless that's what y'all trying to do. Okay? And you have a choice every day. She Gets It podcast will be right back. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's early in the year. Christmas is done. Happy New Year's were said. We heard them, okay? But how do you feel? It's tax time and frustration is on the rise all across the board. Layoffs are still happening and people have lost loved ones. And the way that life was being lived in 2023 is not what's happening at the beginning of this year. You just need some relief. But sometimes going out with friends or going out with family and talking to them is not help. It's not helping. And it's okay. Sometimes you need to find a way to climb out of your thoughts in a positive way. If you need professional help, try BetterHelp. They will work right with you. Contact www.betterhelp.com/shegetsit. You can get started today with 10% off your first month with BetterHelp, to get the relief you need to be your best self again. Do not sit in those thoughts. Get the help you need today. Now back to the show. Hey, you can either live a life that you can respect personally or live a life that other people think you're living. And I will take living a life that I can respect every fucking time, because when you're stressed and you don't have answers and you don't have help and you're always putting yourself in a position to help other people, but there's no one that you could call on when you need something to get done and you have no way, nobody else shares that with you but you. No one feels the pressures of a man dealing with a lot of things being put on his back to show up in, but that man. As much as you love and you care about that man, you're not feeling exactly what he's feeling. You can try to understand, but you're not going to feel or carry the weight that he's feeling. When people, parents pass, even though I have a parent that passed away when I was 18, I don't know what it feels like to love and lose a parent that cared about you properly, showed up for you properly, gave you effort, loved on you, loved on your kids, you know, guided. I don't know what that feels like, because mentally, I experienced that death for my dad way before he passed away. So when he did die, it was very empty. Like, it was like shruggable because, sir, I already went through this mentally already. So I wouldn't have to do it when it actually did happen. So when parents pass, I never say, I understand what you're going through, because I don't. And I hate when people tell people, I understand, you know, how you feel. I can't imagine. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Like, just say, I'm sorry for your loss, and I hope through your healing, you feel supported and you feel like you have people. And if need be, call me. If you want to vent, if you just need X, Y, and Z, I wish I could loan you my chest so you can cry on type shit. Like, if I genuinely feel close to that person, that is what I say. That's because that's coming from a real place. If I can't imagine how you feel with the loss that you're experiencing, I'm not going to act like I know what that feels like, because I don't. Now, when my mom passed, I've thought about my mom passing since I was about 7 years old. I've watched my mom have 3 strokes, faint, have days where she can't use her legs. I've experienced my mom losing her vision for days. That's why she can't drive. Well, it's not recommended for her to drive. And at 70, she was talking to me about getting her driver's license. Sis, please don't. Please don't. Please don't proceed forward, okay? Because Florida is just a place where old people raise high insurance rates because y'all can't drive. Y'all reactions are slow. Y'all should not be driving, okay? No one should be an active driver over 65, in my opinion. Okay. Good thing I'm not a politician, because y'all be some walking elderly people. Okay, elderly on walkers with wheels type people. I've imagined what that might feel like, and still to this day, I don't know what that's going to feel like until I actually experience it. And my mother is getting older, and I know that day is going to come, and I just have to brace myself for it. Kind of like being pregnant and carrying a child for 8 months. You know, you got one more month until you actually got to push this child out. And the only way that I got through the idea of going through labor is knowing that I had to go through it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the first time I got a tattoo. The thing that got me through the tattoo is knowing that you already paid for it. You already paid a deposit. You already signed the paper. You might as well let him finish. Okay? And that's how one tattoo became 6. Okay? But you got to live a life that you can respect. You got to give your kids a chance to not experience the trauma you experienced. And sometimes that does mean not taking them around the people you were raised around. Sometimes that means not introducing them to certain aunts and uncles. Sometimes that means not going to every family barbecue. Not leaving them with strangers or babysitters you just found on Craigslist, or, oh, this is a friend of a friend, I'll watch them. You know what I'm saying? Making those decisions on missing out because you just want to make sure your kids are safe and they never have to experience being violated because mommy wanted to go party or mommy wanted to go on a date. You know, all of those things that you might put yourself in a position to stop the thing that you wanted to do, or stop the place where you wanted to go, or stop your plans for the sake and the sanity of your children just being saved, loved, and protected. A lot of parents don't choose that. A lot of parents just be like, I need a night off. This is my time. Their dad needed to find them a sitter. Let him deal with it. And just not know. Like, you don't know where your kids are? You don't know who your kids are being watched by. You don't know who's coming in and out of that house. You don't call and check in. Like, that right there blows my mind when I'm raising my oldest daughter day in and day out, and her dad doesn't call, doesn't check up, doesn't FaceTime her, doesn't call me to see if she's okay, doesn't call me to see if she needs something, doesn't call me to see if she's sick, doesn't call me to see how she's doing in school, doesn't call me. It's just like you are so disconnected from a child that's so amazing, and I feel so sorry for how sorry you're going to feel when you do realize what you've missed. But I also don't feel sorry. You know what I'm saying? But it's that. And when people don't, that's a whole nother thing too. When people don't break cycles, sometimes they don't show up in the ways that their parents didn't show up. So for Aya's dad, his mom was pregnant with him in prison. And she basically had two of her closest friends take him after she gave birth and was like, take care of him type shit. So he was raised around a Rasta and a mom that also had other kids, but they sold weed. You know what I'm saying? So that's a whole nother thing to be raised in. Like, your mom never mothered you in the way she was supposed to mother you. And then you were raised by two people that loved you as best as they could, but they had a hustle about them that was not legal. But they made the best work for you as much as possible. His father was never in the picture. He don't have a relationship with his father. I know that he has half siblings, but Aya doesn't know them. Aya never met his mom. You know what I'm saying? And I think because he grew up in a very disconnected way, in his mind, he feels like Anya's going to be okay because he became all right. And that's a cycle. You know what I'm saying? And that's the cycle a lot of people have a hard time breaking. That's a cycle a lot of people don't even try to break. And that's a cycle a lot of people get stuck in, like, I don't know, like, how I could be a better parent. You know, my child is 5 and now turn around, your child is 13 and they don't know you. They don't know you. They got their own issues because they want to get to know you, but they don't know how to nurture that relationship to make it work, because in reality, your child is not supposed to make you have a relationship with them as a parent. You're supposed to go water that seed to build that relationship with. And if it's not done at a certain time, your child learns how to deal with abandonment. Your child learns how to feel in relationships when it's one-sided and lopsided. Your child learns how to accept or not accept relationships where the energy is not being reciprocated. You know, again, like what I said, how your child is treated or the experience that your children go through or the experiences that you went through as a child really shapes how you have relationships with grown adults as an adult. And that's why it's so important for people to really second guess, do I need to give my child an iPhone and allow the world to have access to my child? Do I really need to give my child the freedom to go over any one of her friends' houses, even though I haven't met their parents, or I don't even know if their parents live there, or I don't know where they live, or I don't know the child's first and last name, nor do I have a contact phone number? Like, the freedom that I had growing up, my children would never have, because I know too much now. I know too much. I was exposed to too much. And the children today are not built with the same values or core common sense tools to navigate situations that a lot of us dealt with in the 90s as children. Situations that a lot of us dealt with in the early 2000s. And that's because their lives have been so bubble wrapped in protection that their personal self-awareness hasn't had the exposure to learn how to develop those tools in those situations. Like you've put your child in such a place that they never had to use their arms. So if you throw them out into the world, don't wonder why they don't use their arms. That type of shit, you know? But yeah, I'm really big on protecting my kids and allowing them to be kids as long as possible. I'm really big on getting rid of that guilt that I used to feel because of what people did to me or how people treated me. And learning that there's a benefit to getting an unbiased opinion about the role people played in your life to have you react how you're reacting. Or just someone talking to me in a way where they're teaching me how to use tools mentally to think through my decisions and my choices for the betterment of me and the people around me that I take care of. And I think through everything, you're going to have to learn how to channel your negative thoughts into energy that's healthy for you, energy that you can use to better yourself and not say, oh, I feel like shit, or oh, I was triggered, so I drank a whole bottle of Don Julio. you know, I had a hard day yesterday, so yeah, I did, you know, start smoking again, even though I've been sober for 10 months. Like, if you really put in the work to challenge yourself to be a better person, it comes with also learning tools to deal with your triggers so you don't fall back to where you started. And a lot of people may go to rehab. A lot of people may go to anger therapy. A lot of people may go to their AA meetings and been consistent for X, Y, and Z. But another part and another level of breaking a cycle so you can be a better person is using and understanding what tools you need to do or use in order to fight your triggers. Because life is not always going to be good after it's been bad to you. And the way that we learn through life as human beings is riding a wave of the good and the bad. And you don't get to pick when the good and the bad shows up in your life. You just got to learn how to ride it better than you did last time. And a lot of people get stuck in a place thinking what you're dealing with right now is the worst of the worst and you're not going to be able to get through it. You can get through everything. You can get through everything. But your mindset has to be on fucking point. And once you really believe what the fuck I just said, nothing's worse than the worst. It's just bad right now. How can I make this good? Yeah, I know my cons. What can be my solutions? I'm not about to sit here and say what I can't do. I'm about to sit here and talk about what I can do. You know? Don't always go for the negatives first. Think about what you can do regardless of those negatives. And anytime I peep certain habits that are unhealthy and it repeatedly shows up, I also have to be aware of what the pattern is, what triggered me, what bothered me, what am I going to do next? What did I put in place so if I want to do what I'm going to do next, I'm going to do this other thing? That's a part of breaking cycles, is knowing what do you have in place for other opposition. And I will tell you more after this break. Thank you so much for checking out She Gets It Pod. My name is Shan. I am the creator of this podcast. I've been doing this podcast since March of 2018. Damn. A little dusty. But I appreciate you. If you would like to support this podcast, you can with just a click of your button on your phone, your Android or your iPhone, okay? You can go to any podcast platform, leave me a review, let me know who you are because I might want to find you on social media and thank you, and tell me what you think about the show. Or you can go to She Gets It Shop, buy yourself some merch, support me. And there's a link in the podcast notes of every episode where you can donate directly to Red Circle that will support this podcast. Till next time, don't do nothing I want to do. I ain't got no bail money for you. Don't call my phone. Do not DM me, okay? Most people repeat bad cycles because it's familiar, and changing what you've always known might be scary. Leaving the person that's not good for you might sound good, but actually going through in a unknown process of leaving someone that you've always been around and you've learned how to deal with might be one of the hardest things you could do. And that's why a lot of people try not to get in the middle of someone leaving a unhealthy relationship or an unhealthy partnership, because if you force them to leave, probably like 6 times out of 10, they're going to find their way back to where you helped them leave. If someone is not in the mind frame of doing it themselves and creating those boundaries themselves, they're not going to break that cycle. Okay? Doing the work requires constant trying. Not saying you're trying, but constant energy and consistency of showing up. Those that come from a family of addiction, they treat people in their lives a certain way. Me personally, I don't have any addicts in my family that I know of. I've never experienced that and I've never seen that. So when people talk to me about dealing with addiction in their family, that's something that I have a hard time understanding, because I don't understand how someone can't stop. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand how that disease is just like a thing that is, and it's so hard to stop. Like, what do you mean just stop? But you have to have empathy in those situations. You know, you have to be willing to learn about those behaviors and be the one that breaks those behaviors. And it's hard to break a behavior or a thought or a mindset that you grew up in, that you've always known, but you also know that you don't want your relationship to be like this. You don't want you becoming a parent to be like how your father raised you or how your mother raised you. And you don't want to pick the type of men your mom dated, or you don't want to pick the type of women your father dated or your father tolerated. And that's fine. But a lot of people get so stuck on not being their parents that they don't do anything, that they don't fix anything. And they take on this role of, I just want to be by myself. I just want to be solo. I'm not unhappy. I'm perfectly happy. No, I don't want kids. they're going to do this and this in your life. My life is very peaceful. I don't want anybody here. No, I don't get lonely. You're lying. And I'm not saying you're lying about not wanting kids, because yes, there are people that don't want kids and don't feel what other people feel about kids when they think about kids. And that's fine. I don't think everybody's supposed to have kids. And I don't think everybody's supposed to be married. But to completely sit there and say, I don't want to ever be in a relationship. I don't want to ever have friends. I don't want to ever be hugged or have someone come check on me. You're lying. And it's okay to say, I'm so scared to be around people or to entertain something because I have abandonment issues, or I don't want to give anyone the chance to reject me or decide one day they don't want to be around me. It's that, not that. That's what a lot of people need to say, but they're too scared to say it. That's too vulnerable for them. And until you get to a point where you can say that out loud or in a mirror to yourself, you're not going to get to that level of growth that you need to get to in order to fight that bullshit. That's another way of breaking a cycle. A lot of people are capable of working through their shit if you remove distractions. This is the next part of the breaking a cycle. What are distractions? Okay, let's talk. Distractions could be friends who enable you to try. Friends who allow you to sleep on their couch. Even though you said it was only going to be a week, it has turned into 4 months. And you haven't got up and looked for a job. You haven't responded back to those emails. You haven't figured out a way to get from off of their couch. But they won't tell you their couch is no longer available. They won't give you a deadline. They won't tell you that you can't stay there during the day. They won't tell you at 9 a.m. I got to go to work, which means you got to get up out the house. You're free to come back at night to sleep. But you can't be sitting up in my house all day while I'm working and you sitting on my couch thinking of a master plan. It ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. You know what I mean? You're not about to do that. Okay? Because the way I be feeling about my kids being in my house and going to every room and leaving the lights on and they don't help me pay the bill. Jesus! No! Okay? So if you're around enabling friends or family that won't allow you to see the many ways you need to correct yourself and grow so you can be a better individual for yourself, that's a distraction. Unhealthy environments is also a distraction. Well, what is that? That's all the friends you have that ain't going to work today. That's all the friends you have that's not dropping off their kid at school or picking them up from daycare. They just sitting on the stoop talking shit. They eating a bag of chips. You know what I'm saying? They in other people's business. Okay? They haven't changed their drawers in a couple of days. Okay? They sitting on other people's steps that pay mortgages and rent. They standing outside of the convenience store and packs because they have nothing else to do. You know? They sitting up in the back of somebody's Buick passing a blunt. Okay? Unhealthy environments. You at your auntie house that always got the door open. Why is the door always open at your auntie's house? I don't know, but that shit is always unlocked. You never know who's going to walk through the door. It's not a home that feels very homish. You know, it doesn't feel warm and inviting when you go in there. It feels like there's a couch in a room with four walls. You know what I'm saying? Those are the steps. Look at the wood floor. You can see the dirt on the wood floor because nobody wants to clean it. When do they have a chance to clean it? There's always somebody walking through and out the door. That is an unhealthy environment. You are not going to find peace in an environment like that. You are not going to find peace in an environment where somebody's always arguing or cussing or fighting. Okay? When family is using you, when family always needs to borrow something, when family always needs to use your car, when family always needs you to come by, can you go pick this up? I know you tired, but I know it's raining. I don't feel good. Can you come do this for me? Listen. Yes, that is your grandmother, but she would have had that help if she spent her time marrying or finding a mate to be her helpmate. I think a lot of people hold this guilt of feeling like they have to stop their lives, not live where they want to live, or not have the option of living where they want to live, because who's going to take care of my mom? Who's going to take care of my dad? Who's going to take care of my sister or my brother? They need me. All the while, they are at an age where they should be taking care of themselves. All the while, you know, your auntie, your dad, your mom, they're at an age where they should have a life partner to help them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about sickly moms, sickly dads. I'm talking about they decided not to nurture certain relationships or be better in certain relationships because they felt like, I got a daughter, she just gonna do it. I got a son, he just gonna do it. I got a niece, she just gonna do it. And I think a lot of family members lean on people who are supposed to be figuring out their lives in a way where they're discovering the people that they one day will be old with, that they one day would want to have kids with. And a lot of people, they don't know how to break away from, I need to live with my mom because she needs me. I need to live with my dad because he needs me. I need to live close by my grandma because, you know, she don't have nobody to do this with. She don't have nobody that's going to do this for her. If I move, then what's she going to do? Family using you, okay? Family seeing that your children would live a better life if they lived in a state or a community where they were allowed to go outside and ride their bikes, and will they come home? Will they be safe? Is the neighborhood safe? Is not at question, you know? And a lot of people rob themselves of those opportunities to fulfill the lifestyle that they know they deserve, because who's going to be there for X, Y, and Z? Who's going to show up for X, Y, and Z? Stop carrying around that guilt that's not yours. Put that down. like badass kids in the store. Put that down. Stop touching that. That's not yours. That's not your guilt to carry. Family guilting you for leaving. That's a big one. Family guilting you for moving out of the town, moving out of the state. Family guilting you for having the type of house you have when all they got is this. Family guilting you for what car you purchased your wife this year. Family guilting you for being able to send your kids to private school or Montessori school. Family guilting you for being able to go on a cruise or take your family to an island for a week vacation, and they over there struggling on how they about to pay their light bill. Those are distractions. You know, places you go to help numb what you need to do for yourself. Oh, I'm about to go to the lounge. You know, that's my spot. Everybody in there know me. I just need to get my mind off of paying my rent. I need to get my mind off of showing up for my kid because they need me. I need to get my mind off of, you know, showing up for court in the morning. What? That's a distraction. And a lot of people know that they're going into the trap of a distraction, but they won't stop themselves because it's familiar. And that's what gets in the way of breaking cycles. Being around other people who also deflect is a distraction. They doing the same shit you doing. nothing. You ain't doing nothing about it. You're not doing nothing for it. And you're not doing nothing to fix it. And so the only people you feel comfortable being around is another motherfucker not doing shit. Because neither of y'all can sit on the porch, can sit on the stoop, can sit at somebody else's crib, play video games, and call out the other one because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do either. Y'all just a bunch of black kettles sitting in the room on somebody else's shit that's actually going to work and paying for shit. So, y'all know I don't like to do an episode without offering some goddamn solutions, because what's the point of a talk without a solution? Shout out to Everything Culture Drake. Please check that podcast out. But, first, okay? You have to know that you need help. That's that. The acknowledgement is how you first find a solution for breaking a cycle, okay? Interventions, in my opinion, are okay, but they will not work long term if the person does not build up the resistance to figure out what they need to do to fight the feelings of familiar shit that's not going to help them when they feel resistance. You have to build up boundaries also. If you don't build any boundaries, you're not going to break any cycles. Because in order for a cycle to keep going on, you have to give in. You have to allow it. You also need to figure out who is going to be your person. And when I say your person, I'm not talking about your lover. I'm talking about the person you talk to that's going to tell you when you're right, that's going to tell you when you're wrong, that's going to tell you when you could have done something better, that's going to hold you accountable, that you can trust. Trust with your darkest thoughts. No, like, deep down, you know this person doesn't have any malice towards you, won't use what you're telling them in your face for any gain later, won't blackmail you, won't get off the phone with you and run tell that to anybody else. You know what I'm saying? A person, your person. Okay? You need to talk to someone when you feel old habits slipping up, coming to the surface. Okay? When you feel yourself slipping back into old habits, you need to have a person that you call for that. Do something that you enjoy that's healthy. You know? You mad, you upset, get on the treadmill and walk. Or go walk around your neighborhood. Go jump rope. Go lift weights. Go do push-ups. Do sit-ups. Squeeze them butt cheeks together. Do jumping jacks. Burn that negative energy off into some positive shit. You know? Go write. Go make music. Go talk. Go cook. Go plant. Go dig some holes in the yard. You know? Take some ugly energy and put it into something good. Make something good out of that shit. Another thing that you could do to help break a cycle is you can focus on goals to take your mindset elsewhere. A lot of people have a big issue of getting out of their head or overthinking or thinking about some old shit that pissed them off to get re-pissed off. I used to do that a lot. You know, why are you thinking about that? It already happened. It's done with. But the audacity! You know what I'm saying? I'd be really in my head in the past a lot, but I had to stop doing that. Please be accountable at all times. I think it's very easy to blame other people of why you're in the situation that you're in. But please be aware that if your choices and your decisions are why you're in the position that you are in currently, please do not talk to the person that you were disrespectful to or the person you put in a bad position because of a decision you made and look to them for some type of relief, because that's selfish. And it's kind of like talking to the real victim of the situation about your wounds because of what they chose to do. Be accountable at all times. Be accountable at all times. I think a lot of times people really need real friends, and they've never experienced having real friends in their lives because most people don't want to be a friend to someone where they don't have anything to gain. Okay? Just like in relationships, a lot of people talk about, why this person, every time I talk to them, they asking me for this. They asking me for money. They asking me for help. They asking me to go do this for them. People who ask for you to do shit for them up front or ask you for money up front every time you talk to them don't like you. That's them using a repellent to see how long they can keep asking you for shit to annoy you so you leave them the fuck alone. It's like repellent. And so many people don't understand that. So many people don't understand that this person keeps asking you for money because they want you to be so annoyed that you stop calling. They want you to be so annoyed that you stop showing up, that you stop texting. And for some reason, your ass keeps stopping at the stop sign and going when you feel like you need to go. Stopping at the red light, and when it turned green, you busting a U-turn and you trying it again. Stop. Take the hint. And last but not least, if you don't understand the patterns of keeping the cycle going, you'll never break the cycle. If you can't see what you keep doing that's not helping you, you'll never break the cycle. So breaking cycles is a lifelong thing. I have to constantly be aware of people. I have to constantly make intentional efforts to show people that they are valued in a certain way. I am very aware of making sure people know that I care about them. When I feel people in my spirit and I haven't talked to them in months or years, I am very much pushed to call them or check on them or send a text. You don't know what that might mean to a person. You don't know why you felt that person in your spirit. And I think it's my assignment to act on those thoughts. But I hope if anybody out here is struggling with breaking a cycle, that this episode helped them. You know, if you keep going back to that one person that you know is not good for you in your life long term, and you want something long term that's fulfilling and healthy, then ain't no better time to stop than now. You know, if you feel yourself becoming bitter because you don't have X, Y, and Z, or your life is not what you thought your life was going to be at this age, instead of you being a bitter bitch, figure out how you can improve your skills. Figure out what career is making enough money that you would possibly enjoy, and what skills you have to do to learn it so you can do it for yourself. I think it's just easy to be negative, but it's a lot harder to know that you could take the easy route, but you choose not to. But thank you so much for listening. This was just a bonus. I was thinking about it Saturday night, and I was like, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about something people can utilize that's healthy talk, grown talk. I am in my mid-30s, you know, but I feel like even if you're in your 20s and you're hearing this, you're getting that good wisdom, okay? You getting to the shit early. And the earlier you start working on yourself, the better. Because honestly, I didn't start going to therapy until my 30s. I really should have been going to therapy since I was a teenager. it would have helped me so much. It would have saved me so much time. Just dealing with people, setting boundaries, being comfortable in standing on business. But anyway, it's no time like the present. Do with this what you need to. Thank you so much for giving me your ear. Peace. Don't forget to check out shambipodden.com, and She Gets Pod. Buy yourself a shirt, hoodie, sweatshirt, or tote bag. Either way, I appreciate you listening. Peace.